This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities taking a look at the cattle markets for the week ending January 8th, 2021. So the cattle markets had quite a first week of the year. We started out under a fair amount of pressure with live cattle down over $2, feeders down around $4, and then just that fast, the very next day, we regained it all back. So an impressive turnaround in a market that's struggling to find some traction. The live cattle market held together better than the feeder cattle market, rebounded better, and held on to those gains more so than the feeder cattle market. And of course, that stands to reason with corn and soybean prices soaring higher. Eventually, the feeder cattle market has to pay attention to that. And, for a while, they were pretty much ignoring it. But over the last 2 to 3 weeks, that's tough to do when corn stretches up into yet another leg higher. You've got to factor in, sharply higher feed grain prices. And that is occurring. And I think what happened was with the futures market under some pressure, then the cash market started to break for feeder cattle. The index came under some pressure, and then that kind of fed on itself. So it's been difficult for the feeder cattle market to rebound really that well, despite the live cattle market having a nice little pop back up after the pressure from Monday. The cash trade this week was pretty firm, 111 to 112. We did see some 110 trade late on Friday, but it looks like early in the week we're trading around 111. Then it popped up to 112 on Thursday, and then with quite a bit of volume purchased by the packers, they backed off in their bids and did some cleanup of some off weights on Friday at around 110. The dress trade anywhere from 175 to 177, which is about steady with the previous week. And the Fed trade at around 112 would be up about $2 over the previous week. Box beef values have been pretty choppy as well. We ended up at around 206.80 on the choice, and that was down about $3 to $4 from where we ended the year. In the select, we settled the week at around 196.69, and that was about one steady to one higher than where we ended the year. So the spread is sitting at 10.11, and that's down almost just over $3, or almost $4, excuse me, from where we ended the year. So we can see that the select is certainly gaining on the choice, which is not unusual this time of year. As you get into January, the demand for beef cuts changes significantly. You don't have your high quality holiday demand. It switches over to the more lower quality cuts, and we're seeing that again this year. Slaughter rates, 583,000 for the week. That compares to the previous week of 448 and last year of 612. So that's the holiday disruptions are behind us. Now we'll be better able to compare apples to apples as we get into January and into the second week of January, really what it is. But if slaughter rates continue at this much lower than last year, that clearly would be a signal that we have entered a new phase of the cattle cycle. What we're looking for here over these next 3, 4, 5 weeks is what kind of calf movement we get into the feedlots. We know that the feedlots are going to be emptying out here fairly aggressively, that the bulk of the heavyweight cattle from the late summer placements is going to be hitting us in about 3 or 4 weeks. And so those pens will be clearing out. What kind of demand are they going to have, number one, to refill them? But what kind of movement are we getting from the countryside? There was a big drop in placements in October and November, and the question is, did those calves just get put into a backgrounding operation, or are they simply not there from a lower calf crop that was really not recorded that well in the inventory reports? So these are the things we're kind of, anxiously waiting to see, because they will give us an indicator of the longer term direction of the market. If indeed the calf crop was that much smaller and herd reduction is well underway, that really does change the outlook. Because, for several months, we really had not seen much of an indication of that. Cow slaughter was always lower than the year prior, so there was not much indication that the herd was declining all that much. But as we got late into the year, the drought conditions in the Southwest really forced producers' hands. And a lot of that was coming from California, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico. I mean, not major players in the beef space, but significant enough that it would have an impact. And they, of course, were in pretty serious herd liquidation mode because of the drought conditions. The bigger question is what was happening in Texas, of course, because they house 25% of the U.S. beef herd. That really drives the narrative as to where the beef herd is. And then, of course, drought conditions in the western southern plains and central plains obviously have a lot to do with that as well. We didn't get a lot of fall demand for winter wheat grazing because of dry conditions. We've had some rain in the central and eastern plains since then, but demand for calves really was pretty light from down there. So the placements that we did see, a lot of them were lighter weight calves, and then the other ones would have gone to some sort of backgrounding operation. So again, usually you start to see the flow of those cattle coming into the feedlots in January, and then another wave of them as you get into the spring, and producers get busy with the farm work. So a lot of things that we're looking for as far as indicators for the longer term direction of the market. The export sales were pretty disappointing, but it was a holiday season or week, so we can't get too worked up about it. But at only 9,000 pounds, that just is kind of reminiscent of the struggles we were going through late in the year, just consistently light export sales. Japan took 2,000 of that, Mexico 1,700, South Korea took 1,600. Even pork export sales were pretty light at 23,000 tons. Mexico took 8,300, South Korea 3,800, Japan took 3,200. So we're finally going to, just wrap up all the holiday stuff and disruptions to the market. The good thing about, as time marches on, we're also getting past the massive disruptions in the beef space from the virus and the packing plant shutdowns. That would just so skewed the market and sent it for a wild ride, a wild roller coaster in price action in the spring of last year. So, as we move forward, of course, the numbers that we look at, the slaughter numbers, the rate of processing, all of that is going to be compared with a year ago, as are the placements and the marketings, and it's not going to be a good comparison because last year just was off the charts as far as disruption. So that's going to be difficult to get some semblance of direction from the beef space based on where we were a year ago. So it's just not easy. It just is not gonna it's just not gonna make it easy for us. But aside from that, as we move forward, at least for the most part, weather has been good in the southern feeding areas. There's been some storms come through the eastern plains and through the Midwest that have caused some light disruption, but by and large, so far into the winter, we've not had any massive disruptions to feeding or transportation across much of the southern and central plains. And we don't really see that on the horizon either. Longer range forecasts keep calling for above normal temperatures across many of those areas. Although the northern plains and Midwest have certainly had their share of winter, it hasn't been enough to really disrupt the beef market. We are seeing very good conversions, and that it in part is because of weather that it's pulling cattle forward, and that should take some of the pressure off of the February marketings rate, where we expect to see a big surge in numbers. They're being pulled forward, and that's going to smooth out that marketing and smooth out the price pressure that we would expect. The good news after that, you're going to be then, as you get into March, April, May, that's when we see the impact of the very light placements in the fall, coming at a time where you tend to see demand start to step up, getting ready for the spring grilling season. So there's a lot of optimism in the beef space once you get into that second quarter of the year. It's just kind of bracing ourselves for any potential pressure during the first quarter and in particular during February. So it's good news, and I think that there's I think it'll be the breaks will probably be well supported from those wanting to get some long positions on, expecting that we'll perform well in the second quarter. with the new administration coming in and a Democratic Congress, you know, it's kind of opening the floodgates for stimulus checks and a lot of money flowing into the economy. That bodes well for the cattle space as well. The value of the dollar continues to erode as a result of that expectation, which is understandable. That also bodes well for the cattle space because it stokes our export potential that way. Demand from China is going to be interesting because they've tried to move away from buying Australian beef because of political issues. That opens the door for U.S. products as well. And we're in a good position to export a lot of beef. It's just, we had one good week late last year, and that came on the tail end of the year after several weeks of poor sales. But I think with the dollar weakness the way it is, it does set us up for the potential for an increase in exports as well. So there's a lot of reason to be optimism once we get past the first quarter, and really once we get past February. Then I think the market starts to factor in, I think, some bullish optimism. Well, optimism would be bullish, but some bullishness as you get into then the second. For calves, obviously, strong live cattle prices would be supportive, but feed grain prices, you know, will depend on what's happening in South America, but that should be answered probably within the next 3 or 4 weeks. We'll get an idea of what that is. I would expect corn and soybean prices, and wheat for that matter, to stay fairly elevated into the spring as the U.S. battles for acres to, you know, take advantage of these high prices. And so I think feed grain prices are going to continue to stay elevated. So feeder cattle will have to take that into consideration. And so it's hard to project that feeders would have the same kind of upward enthusiasm that live cattle certainly could enjoy. But at least they would be supported from what appears to be a good reason to think that we'll see some firming of cash prices and futures into, you know, March, April, May time window. So again, it just depends on feed grain prices, which from my perspective, I don't think that they're going to break all that much from where we are here. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.